our message, Proliferation of Evil Leading to God's Judgment, taken from Genesis chapter 5, verses 25 to 32, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Before the flood, and after the global flood, God gave to Christians a little preview what all of us anticipate to be our blessed hope as the bride and body of Christ, to be taken away without dying, to be taken away, snatched to heaven in the rapture. How the Lord showed us in Genesis chapter 5, in the 7th, from Adam, the man Enoch, how he walked with God. Twice it was said in the text, the holy text, that this was a man who walked with God. Amidst all the evil that was in the world at that time, this man walked with God. The Bible tells us that he preached concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with his holy angels to judge the world. It was a work in which God had committed him to do amidst the depravity that was all around him. And so you may say that amidst all the persecution, amidst all the difficulty that came, the Lord took him away just in time before his aggressors would take hold of him. It was the same in the post-flood era when God brought Elijah the prophet to heaven in a chariot of fire. We are given two examples concerning the taking away of two men, and a picture to the church of Jesus Christ living in the last of the last days, in the last hour of human history, which the Bible calls the days of Noah. Dear friends, do you know that the days that we lived in are today called the days of Noah? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 27 gives to us this picture. But as the days of Noah were, Matthew 24 and verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Dear friends, the Lord has brought us to study this text concerning the beginning of mankind so that we would have a correct idea, perspective of human history, so that we would know what happened in the past, and that we may learn the lessons of history for our day. For our Lord Jesus himself, in the Olivet Discourse, gave the lesson of the times of Noah to be like the times prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that we are living in those days and in those times. And what does the holy text teach us concerning those times of Noah? Lessons that we can learn. Well, let us see in from verse 25 of Genesis chapter 5, where is given to us the three generations after Enoch, the man who was raptured. He had three, or his descendants. There was Methuselah, and there was Lamech, and there was Noah. And our text tells us how each one of them, after Enoch, Methuselah lived to 969 years, the oldest man ever lived. And nevertheless, he died. And Lamech, he was the one who begat Noah. And verse 29 of our text says, "That same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." What was the comfort that we can derive from the birth of this man, Noah? Well, this was a man who found grace in the sight of God. Verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6 tells us, he found favor in the eyes of God amongst the multitude of men who are living in the world in those times. And the Lord wants us to understand in particular the contrast, because it was only Noah and his family, right? His three sons were described in verse 32 of Genesis chapter 5, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that were given to him when he was 500 years old. And why is it that God had to judge the world with a global flood? Well, it was because there was a proliferation of evil, of wickedness that was in the world today, just as it is in our time. Well, is there a parallel? Well, let us see from the Bible. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 6 gives us the picture concerning the depravity and the wickedness of the world that was then, to help us to see how God gave them 120 years from the time he would close the door of the ark and the rain would come to fill the earth, and that all living outside the ark would be destroyed. You may ask this question, why so hard? Why is God so hard in giving such a terrible judgment upon the whole earth? What happened? Why? What led to the judgment that came? What led to the judgment that came upon planet Earth that wiped out almost the entire human population, except Noah and his three sons and his three daughter-in-law, 8 of them, and his wife? How sad it is. But what happened? Well, the Lord wants us to see that there was at that time such open global rebellion against God. There was such global open rebellion against God that led to the judgment. It came to pass, verse 1 of Genesis 6 says, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Dear friends, this is a very special text that is given here to describe the sons of men, which at the time when this text was written by Moses, Israel has just exited from Egypt, from the Exodus, or in the Exodus, and that they are encamped at Mount Sinai, and God gave to them the history of the beginning. And the Hebrew readers would have understood that the phrase the sons of God refer to angels. Before the book of Genesis was written, well, the first book that of the Old Testament was the book of Job. And if you turn to the book of Job, or which we have already done so the last 60 weeks in our prayer meeting, it began in chapter 1 and 2 of the presence of the evil one, Satan, right? And it's described in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. The sons of God, the angels. Well, here in Genesis chapter 6, we are speaking of a special group of angels, of fallen angels, wicked. And these angels, because they would commit a great, a crime against God, against the order of God's creation, that warrant the judgment of God in the global flood to destroy the entire earth. Verse 2 says, and that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And it's interesting, in Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. My spirit shall not always strive with men. Well, it's interesting how the Lord placed the phrase there to describe how man has fallen so deeply away from God as a result of the influence of what we call demons, demonic activity upon the humankind. There was the mixing. So how is it that angels could intermarry with humans? Well, we say this, right, that they use the bodies of depraved men to dominate the bodies and as the intermediate instrument. So these depraved men, well, here it's not mentioned. But here, you would be able to see and understand how this took place. You turn with me to Jude, and verse 6 and 7. It says here that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness upon the judgment of the great day. The angels which kept not their first estate. Who are these angels that kept not their first estate? Well, these were the angels that came and possessed willing, depraved men, and how it caused great confusion, caused great wickedness, great depravity to come upon mankind. And how the Lord here in described by Jude judged these fallen angels, a part of the third of the angels that fell with Satan. This group that possessed men and had relationship with the women of men, of mankind, were judged. Here it is said, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of judgment of the great day. It was a time of that God would judge these. And verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You see, Jude gave the analogy. You remember what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, men with men, women with women. That was the time when they give themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, that caused God to judge the world or judge the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah directly by fire from heaven. And today we are living in those times. In the last few years, you see how many nation states have changed their laws in order to allow for same-sex marriage. Men with men, women with women. Now, what Genesis chapter 6 is describing for us is that there was this angels that left their first estate, or kept not their first estate as angels, but left their own habitation. And what happened, Genesis chapter 6 describes for us here, that these sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. So there was this intermingling with demons, men allowing themselves to be possessed and dominated. Now, we all have a human will. And how is it that men can be possessed by the devil? Well, you turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. You remember the scene when our Lord Jesus Christ met the men in Gadarenes, the country of Gadarenes, on the other side of the sea. When he came out of the ship, immediately the man met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling place in the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had been often bound with chains and fetters and the chains have been plucked asunder by him. So he had great strength. The chains could not bound him. They were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So he was physically powerful. A demon-possessed man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee?" Now, who is speaking here? This is the devil who is speaking. "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." What did the man said to the Lord Jesus? He acknowledged him, that he is the Son of the Most High God. He is God. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Why was the demon so afraid? You remember later on, Jesus would cast out the demon, and Jesus would ask, where can I go? Well, there was a herd of swine that was there. Right? The herd of swine, the demons came and possessed the swines. And Jesus asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm legion." What is a legion? Legion means 6,000. There was a whole army of demons that possessed this man. "What is thy name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he sought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." Dear friends, I know it is difficult for me to say this, but this is the interpretation of the text, which I hope that you would be able to take time to think and consider what we are speaking about here. The depravity, how did it come about? And verse 4 of our text, it says here, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men." Now this possession, as we saw earlier, how there was great strength that was upon this, and how they were giants. The word there describes not that they were indeed not small. Right? You remember Goliath? Goliath was one of the last of this great men. How tall was Goliath? The Bible described him as more than 9 feet tall. 9 feet tall. They were giants. Remember when the Israelites, scouts, 10 of them, went into Canaan to scout the land, and they said that we were like grasshoppers. They were giants. Was it real? Well, this is what we are describing here. There were giants in the land and the earth. And after that, when the sons of men came in unto the daughters, they bare children up unto them, and the same became mighty men. Right, the word there described. They became mighty men, men of renown. Right, the word described here is the word that means they became notorious, they became terrorizers of humans, they became mighty, and they became hunter of humans. Now, there was great iniquity, depravity that came, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. The word there comes from the word to fall, Naphal. And the Nephilims, who are these? Well, these are those who are possessed with the demons. and how they become so powerful. And when this great mixing came, right, God will judge all these angels. That is why you may say that, you know, when the demons saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they were so frightened, right, because they understood how a group of them were totally incarcerated, now still in chains, in darkness, kept because of what they have done. Jesus judged them. That is why they said, "Why have you come before the time of our judgment? When will the Lord Jesus judge? Or when will God judge Satan?" Well, in Revelation chapter 5, you would see how during the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, how Satan would be cast down. There was a war between Michael, the archangel, and Satan. Satan would be cast down upon earth with all its demons. But now, as during the time of Job, Satan still has that audience with God. So the time is not come. In other words, the demon said to Jesus, "For you to judge. But you have judged." That's why, you know, the demon was so afraid. So afraid. And the Lord wants us to see and understand, right, the wickedness that came upon men. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually." How could this come? That if this intermingling continues, this possession continues, then the seed of men would have been totally destroyed because of the special power that they possessed. As what we saw in verse 4 of our text. And so, you would see here, before the time of God's judgment upon the world in the global flood, there was this evil that came upon the world. And look at what verse 5 tells us. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Evil continually. In other words, there is no, as it were, no repentance for these. The depravity was so great. The Lord said in verse 7, "I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It grieved the heart of the Lord," verse 6 says, "that he hath made men, and that man has chosen to walk wickedly." Man has chosen to depart from their Creator. Man has chosen to leave, well, to walk away from their God. And here our Lord wants us to see and understand and know that indeed it was a time when God had to intervene. Before, indeed, we said that the salvation plan to save mankind would have been thwarted, as it were. God's way was that all who to preserve the chosen seed, to preserve the humankind, well, God had his remnant, albeit the remnant was just one family, the family of Noah with his three sons and three daughters-in-law and his wife. They would pass from the old world to the new world, the pre-flood world to the post-flood world. And the Lord said in verse 3, 120 years, and he would judge the world. You turn with me to 2 Peter and chapter 2. And it says here in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." This describes the angels that left their first estate. God judged them and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person. In other words, Noah together with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The world of the ungodly. There was so much wickedness. There was so much turning away from God. When the world will not acknowledge God, they will go about their own agenda. The overturning of the 377A in many countries to allow for same-sex marriage is a precursor. The Lord says that you are in the days leading to the judgment of God. We are living in those days, the days of Lot, the days of Noah. And the Lord wants us to see, as the laws are changed, allowing for this depravity to proliferate, and say that this is an acceptable lifestyle. You cannot disagree. Well, here in 2 Peter chapter 4 is described for us, chapter 2 verse 4 is described for us, this intermingling and this great depravity and wickedness that came. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world." So when God judged, he judged not only all the wicked men upon earth, but he also judged those angels. When all were perished, all perished before the flood, after the flood would be over, it would be a new world. Genesis chapter 6 described for us. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and that it grieved Him at His heart. And if you look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, God knew and God understood the depravity. Man has no excuse. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It was corrupt. Sin, depravity has corrupted mankind. For all flesh has corrupted his way upon the earth. So we remember our verse that we memorize in Titus 2:12. How God, by His mercy, has, by His grace, has given us the gospel. Just as Noah found grace in the sight of God, God, in the age of the gospel, has allowed us to know the way of salvation from human depravity. And God provided that way for us. Titus chapter 2. And verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed hope of the church, the reason why we are who we are, named the Blessed Hope, Bible Presbyterian Church, and how the Lord housed us here on the building, built in the shape of an ark, to help us to see and learn that we are living in those days where depravity of humankind is reaching its peak. And God's judgment is coming. Now we are no longer allowed to come for worship physically. You realize how privileged we are to know God and to know the plan of God and to know that we are not going to live in this world forever. That a time of judgment is coming upon depraved men upon this earth, and this world is moving headlong to destruction. In rejecting God, the living and true God, and His Son Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. This is the only way out. And the Lord wants us to see and learn and know. Just as God provided for Noah the ark to save his family. Well, he preached for 120 years before the judgment would come. But none of the people believed. None of the people took heed. None of the people entered the ark except the family of Noah. What happened? How sad it is. Well, the Lord Himself, Genesis chapter 6 tells us, was grieved. It grieved Him at the heart. Genesis 6 verse 6 says, that man whom he has made in his image has fallen to such depravity. And so Titus says to the church, how we have been saved, gloriously saved, made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, our souls have been possessed by the Holy Spirit. So no evil spirit can take control of us, can dominate us, because we have the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, do you know that if you have Jesus Christ with you and you loved Him and you served Him, no devil, no demon can possess you. 1 John 4:4. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And your soul is the most precious in the sight of God. Your ability to choose. You have been given by God the freedom, the free will to choose. Choose to love Him, for He is the Maker. And we study the book of Genesis in order that we may be acquainted to know our Maker, our God, and to help us to see the environment that is around us. Titus says how we are, as we see the salvation grace of God, as we see the history of the world in its depravity, it must teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Those things that pull us away from God. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. To go after the things of this world, the material things of this world. Men will be disappointed. Right? Today, many are disappointed. Many might have lost their possessions. They may have spent their entire life building up a human financial empire for themselves. And in a moment, it's gone. Many disappointments, many disappointed souls. Where can we find true confidence, true purpose? Well, know the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who helped us to see truth from error, right from wrong, good from evil, so that we can distinguish, we can discern, and that we have the power by the grace of God to live holy lives, to escape the depravity that is in this world, all the temptations to sin, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. A peculiar people, a people who will not follow the ungodliness that has plagued the world, to follow the alternative lifestyles, to go the way of sin. And the Apostle Paul described it so well in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Regarding sin and the depravity of men. Because that they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, their hearts were evil continually, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impeccable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. These were the people in those days. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. In other words, evil, doing evil, was a pleasurable thing for them. And so verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was the reason why God had to judge the humankind. And all the animals, depraved world. Well, the judgment of God upon the world of the ungodly is coming again. And the only ark of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas the world will be judged with a global flood in the past, there will be a global flood of fire that would come to judge the world. 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you turn there as we conclude? 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter's last words. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, what we saw in Genesis, the judgment of God upon the world in the global flood, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the apostles say to us? How we are to flee from the last of this world. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, how many years from the time of creation to the time of the global flood? About 1,700 years. 1,656 years. How many years now since the Lord has allowed the world to continue after the flood? Well, the time when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, 1,450 BC, 3,500 years since then, when these holy commandments were given. Peter says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Dear friends, the time of judgment is coming. And the Lord is saying lovingly to us, providing us a warning. For beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is at one day. Now, what is the span of the last days? The last days is the time when Jesus ascended to heaven to the time when he would come again. This is the period of the last days. And how long has it? Is it now since his ascension? 2,000 years. Are we moving headlong towards destruction and judgment? Well, you see for yourself in the world around you how everything is global now. Iniquity can be duplicated globally, quickly. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and the noise with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The Lord says to us, seeing the long suffering of God to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? Well, the Lord wants us to live a life close to him, like Enoch did. Enoch walked close to God. Enoch was sharing about the judgment of God before he was taken up to heaven. God had to rescue him because the evil was so great against him. The same for Elijah. The evil was so great. You remember Ahab and Jezebel, the Baal prophets, how they overran the land of Israel, the land of God, the Holy Land. And it's as if Elijah said, there were no more good men left. He was so discouraged. He was so disappointed. But he was called of God to stand in the gap to pronounce the judgment and to warn of the judgment to come. And the salvation, the escape that God had provided for us. Dear friends, may we be warned and may we be awakened to the perils of our days. That this world is moving headlong towards a time when God will have to intervene and judge depraved men who do not love God and who has an agenda to stop men from worshipping the living and true God. And the Christian church, God has preserved to be that light. May we, the people of God, continue to watch and be vigilant and to, by the Spirit of God, live lives which are pleasing in the sight of God. That ye ought to live, be in all holy conversation and godliness. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy. And we ask that Thou would grant to us the grace that we may come in repentance, that we may not set our affections on the things of this world which will soon be destroyed, but rather set our affections upon the souls that Thou would bring with us to heaven. O God, may Thou awaken Thy people to the perils that is befallen, that is over them, and that we may be protected, and that we may be warned, and that we may be watchful. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.